I'm still talking about the church. The church that Christ is building. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We speak of socialism as being a great challenge to Christianity. But I submit to you that no system can be seriously threatened by an enemy without, until it has first been weakened by some enemy within. I know that those who promote socialism is zealous in their work, yet I am more concerned about the lack of zeal for Christ than I am about the zeal and purpose of the socialists. Lenin once said, socialism can never succeed unless Christianity fails. How many professing Christians in America consider Christ and the church not a central part of their lives? It's not a part of their lives where they pledge their loyalty. To some, it is only a shot in the arm administered in a short visit to the church on Sunday morning. It becomes a duty, and oftentimes a painful one. Like going to the dentist, the patient heaves a sigh of relief when the pastor says amen, and the weekly treatment is over. Though Lenin by no means presented the whole picture, he was right when he said that for many people, religion is a spiritual cocktail that helps to dull the pain of living. The socialist goal is to liquidate religion, for they hold the concept that religion is a product of the capitalist system. This is another era of the socialists. Friend, the Christian religion was begun by Jesus Christ, who was by no stretch of the imagination a wealthy American. He was a poor Middle Eastern carpenter. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. He was born in a borrowed stable. He said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He celebrated his Last Supper in a borrowed room. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He was crucified on a borrowed cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. I take great comfort in the words of Christ when he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If the church remains strong, warm, and spirit-filled, we have the promise of our Lord that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. But if we allow our Christian faith to be adulterated with materialism, watered down by secularism, and intermingled with humanism, we cannot stand up to a system that has vowed to bury us. Is the church to turn its preaching and teaching facilities over to an all-out fight against socialism? This is not the church's mission. In the time of Christ and the early church, the great peril of Christianity was Rome. This did not mean that the church was to marshal all of its forces simply to fight this enemy. It had a distinctive mission to the world that was neither national nor political. It was to bear witness of Jesus Christ. It was not to employ any kind of state power or to receive any measure of state support. It was not to take the sword and employ force. It was to preach the transforming gospel of the grace of God. As Christians, we are to live and minister under all forms of government and to die for our faith if necessary. In my opinion, we see a similar situation in the world today. America is on a money-making, pleasure-mad spree unparalleled in the history of the world. God is ignored or ridiculed. Church members, in many cases, are only half-hearted Christians. Judgment is coming. Thus, the greatest threat of socialism is not socialism itself, but the spiritual apathy of the people of God. Meanwhile, the socialist flame becomes even more dangerous, and in some areas in the world, it is out of control. If socialism takes over this country, it will not be because of the sins of the sinners. It will be because of the sins of the saints. It will be because of those that are called by His name. Those that call themselves Christians have not turned from their evil ways. They have not turned their face towards heaven. They have not bowed their knees to God and sought His forgiveness. Judgment is coming. God desires that His people be a holy people. The church is put into this world to be a light, to be a light to all mankind, to be light and salt. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to change the atmosphere. The church is to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But if the light is darkness, how great is that darkness? And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trod upon by man. God is looking for a remnant. And friend, there is a remnant. There are those today, like in the days of Elijah, when he thought that he was the only one that loved God. But God reminded him of a remnant. 7,000, God told him, had never bowed their knees to Baal. God still has those who love Him, who praise Him, whose light is not dark, and whom salt has not lost its saltness.
He was just a shepherd boy before he was a king. There was no cry, there was no choir, but David learned to sing. Just a shepherd in the wilderness, pleased to sing his song for an audience of one. He would sing when no one listened. He would sing when none could hear. He would sing because he knew his song would always find God's ear. When it seemed he was alone and all was gone, there was an audience of one. I've been in the darkness, and I've been all alone. I can't see what lies before me. I can't see which way to go. So when I sing my faith and not my sight, I hope he hears my song. He's never failed to be my audience of one. So I will sing when no one listens. I will sing when none can hear. I will sing because I know my song will always find God's ear. When it seems